So in this chapter, Krishna is giving his most confidential knowledge. So let us hear what Krishna, Lord Shri Krishna, is going to tell us in this chapter as a most dear friend. This is chapter 9, verse 18. Sachirpata Prabhu Shakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sri Prabhava Kaliyasanam Nithanam Vijam Agnayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend, and creation and annihilation, basis of everything, resting place, and the eternal seed. So in the purport, the prophet said, Gati means destination, where we want to go. But the ultimate goal is Krishna, although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive mind is either partial or hallucinatory. So this morning, I came in from Chicago Airport early in the morning to Baltimore. And the person who was driving me was Sankirtan Yogya Prabhu. Some of you may know him. He was telling me a story about some of the students at one of the universities. I think it's State College or University of Maryland, one of those places. So these students, some of the students there are interested in becoming devotees and chanting Hare Krishna and becoming Krishna conscious. But the other students are telling them that, you know, why do you want to think so much about your future? You know, so my question to them was, what are you doing in school then if you're not thinking about the future? You're also thinking about your future, but you're thinking about your material future. You're thinking about the future of your body. But the real goal is the soul. The real future is for the soul. The real food is for the soul. And that is being neglected in today's. Now everybody's going back to school. But where, as Sri Prabhupada used to say at MIT, where is the department of the soul? He asked the professors, he asked the students when he lectured in MIT, where is the department of the soul? And there was one man just outside, just now, before I came in, he said, I think it was you, you're saying one of the students is already suspended and school hasn't even started yet. So why is there so much problem in the schools? Why is there so much misbehavior in the schools? And the people say, well, why doesn't God do something about it? Well, then I saw a joke. It said, yes, they're complaining to God. Why are everybody so misbehaved? And so God says, well, they don't allow me in the schools. What can I do? You know? So this is the point. They want to have well-behaved students and everything, but they don't allow education in the soul, education and behavior, the spiritual education. And so this is the problem. And they don't know what is the goal. The goal is Krishna. The goal is to use this human form of life to the best advantage, and that is to worship Lord Krishna, who is our dearmost friend. He is everything. He says, I am the goal. I am the sustainer. If Krishna were not to glance over this creation in the form of Vishnu, it would cease to exist. At the beginning of creation, we know by his glance, he created everything, just by his glance. He didn't need to do any work. He didn't have to do the work. He had some, Lord Rama was doing the work. And even Lord Rama had other people doing the work. And all that Vishnu has to do is glance, just look. And then for destruction, same thing. All he has to do is look. When he was on the battlefield at Kurukshetra, and he was driving the chariot of Arjuna, and Arjuna said, please take my chariot between the two armies. Then when Krishna looked at the soldiers on the other side, he shortened the duration of their lives, just by his glance. So by his glance, he says, I am creation, I am annihilation. How does he do it? All he has to do is look, and you're finished. Or you're in spiritual life, one or the other. So we'll be talking a little bit more about this when we, in our seminar this weekend, about how to make a personal relationship with the deities, how to get the favorable glance of Krishna upon you. So this is our goal. We want Krishna to smile at us. We want Krishna to be our dearmost friend. He is our witness. He is in our heart. He's watching everything, what we're doing. How do we know? How do we remember what our desires were in our last life? How do we forget? Time of death, time of birth, we forget everything. So how do we know? How do we know what we want to do in this life? That is Krishna in our heart, as super soul. He tells us, oh yes, remember, now you wanted to do this. You didn't finish this in your last life, so you have to come back again. And sometime, one time, I was teaching in Nepal, and somebody asked me the question about Mahatma Gandhi, because he was chanting Ram at the time of death. You know, what happened to him? I said, yes, he has taken a very nice birth, probably in ISKCON, because Prabhupada told him, gave him some instruction that he should preach Bhagavad Gita, but he didn't finish that. So now he had to come back and do what Prabhupada told him to do, and that is to preach Bhagavad Gita all over the world. So as we perform activities in this life, we should do it very consciously, because whatever activity we are performing, we will achieve a certain goal. If we perform material activities, we'll get a material body. If we do spiritual activities, we'll get a spiritual body. So we are the doers in that sense. We can choose whether to go up or whether to go down. So in one time, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing in the University of Hawaii. And the students, he was telling how if you don't control your senses, you can become a dog in your next life. So one student raised his hand, he said, what's the harm in becoming a dog? So that is the nature of today's education. And people say, what's wrong with becoming a dog? I just saw an advertisement somewhere that they're having a dog pool party. And you can take all your dogs at a certain place in the suburbs near Germantown, and they're in the pool, and you pay $5 and your dog can go for a pool party. So when I was in Toronto, and near Toronto Temple, there's a dog spa. It's called Paw Fetch Spa. They have paws. So, and then they can get pedicure, manicure, and everything. So this is really amazing. And we came, and they have a dog school too, to train the dogs. So we were walking on our way to Rathiatra with some devotees from India. And they saw this sign for the dog school, and they said, you know, and one of the devotees said, in my village, even the children don't go to school, but here they have a dog school. So this is what's going on. It's a very, very upside down civilization. Very upside down. So the goal is the best friend. Krishna says, I am the best friend, most dear friend. But we see nowadays that a lot of people, the most dear friend is the dog. And so they feed their dog as their best friend, and he goes to the spa, and he goes to the, even yoga for dogs. I saw that too. Yoga for dogs, yoga for cats. And this is going on. This is cat and dog society. But actually, human life is not meant for that. It's meant for a higher purpose. And so here in this report, it says one should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. So there are many approaches to Krishna. Some are direct, some are indirect. We want to take the direct process. And what is the direct process? The direct process is to chant Hare Krishna, the holy name of Krishna. Because in the holy name of Krishna is Krishna. Everything is there. Nam Chitami Krishna. It's a touchstone. In the holy name, there are so many things. If you touch the holy name, your life has changed. If you can actually hear the holy name perfectly, then you can hear Krishna speaking to you personally. And so therefore I'd like to speak a little bit about the holy name, because the holy name is all of these things also. The goal, the master, the most dear friend, basis of everything, as related to my life especially. But before I tell you a little bit about my life, I'd just like to quote a little bit from Srimad Bhagavatam, where it explains that about scientists. Someday they may be able to count all of the atoms on the earth, and maybe someday they'll be able to count all the snowflakes in the sky. But maybe someday they'd be maybe able to count all the molecules of sunshine coming from the sun. But they'll never be able to count the qualities of Krishna. And Shesha, who is an incarnation of Krishna, who is an expansion of Balaram, he has counted all the snowflakes. He has counted all the atoms and the earth. He has counted all the molecules of sunshine. But he has not been able to count the qualities of Krishna. And he has 1,000 mouths, and he's been chanting since the beginning of creation, and still he's not finished enumerating the qualities of Krishna. So how amazing is Krishna? And you know what that means? What that means, according to Sanatana Goswami, is that for each and every one of us, Krishna has a special quality to attract us. Very special quality. And each and every one of us has a very individual relationship with Krishna. Now, how are you going to find out that? How do you find out which quality, how you're attracted, and what's that relationship? Very simple. You have to chant Hare Krishna. And everything will be revealed to you. One time, my son, when he was, now he's older, he's about 22, and he was about 14 or 15, he said to me, "Oh, if I could just talk to Super Soul, I would never be born again." I said, "Yes, you can contact Super Soul. Very easy. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna." I had that experience. Sometimes I have a question, because I teach Srimad Bhagavatam, I have a question, I can't answer. And so then I chant. I chant the holy name, I chant japa, I listen very carefully, and the answer comes. And it's not something I could ever think of with my own brain. So what happens when you chant the holy name? You're contacting Super Soul. And what is Super Soul? It's a reservoir of intelligence. So sometimes a lot of us who are habituated to chanting, sometimes we get so many ideas when we're chanting, and not only spiritual ideas, but material ideas, how to do different things in our work or different things that may come up during our chanting. So it's an amazing process to chant the holy name. So myself, I was before I became a devotee in 1970, a musician. I used to play music. And so I was always trying to communicate with the past musicians. I would play their different pieces, and I would try to feel their emotions and everything. And then when I came to the temple, they said, "Okay, you have to chant, you have to dance, and you have to eat the prasadam." I said, "Okay, let me try that." And when I heard the holy name, it was the perfect sound. I never heard a sound like that in all my musical life. And also the books, they're the perfect books. I was a reading addict from a very young age of 10. I used to go to the library, and I would get this many books out from the library every week. And my goal was to read the whole library. But then when I got Bhagavad Gita, when I got Srimad Bhagavatam, then that was the end of the library. Because I found that no matter how many times you read these books, you find something more. You find something new, and you find something that you can change your life, that you can apply to your life. So the holy name is like that. Prabhupada's books are like that. It's really, they are our best friend. They are our master, our guru, our everything. So then when I first joined the temple, in those days, our service was to chant Hare Krishna from 10 in the morning to 10 at night out on the streets, Harinam on Sankirtan. So that was my occupation for 6 months, just chanting and dancing on the streets of Boston, where Prabhupada first arrived in 1965. And when you chant all day and all night, then you forget the material world. You forget everything, and you feel very happy. So that was the beginning of my spiritual life. It became my occupation. And then after a while, then I moved from Boston, then it became more like a duty. You know, I was chanting Hare Krishna, okay, 16 rounds, I have to finish my 16 rounds, or else. Just became more like a duty. Medicine, you have to take. It is a medicine, actually. It's for those of us who have a material disease. And chanting the holy name is a medicine that will cure us from that disease. It's a very nice medicine that we can take. But then when we become cured, when we become free of the disease, it becomes nectar becomes relishable, becomes, you want to chant more and more, we don't have to stop chanting Hare Krishna. So this change does come in our lives. So one time, one of my godbrothers, he was working 20 hours a day doing devotional service. His name was Bhaktadas. So he didn't have time to chant his rounds. He chanted 16 every day. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, I have a problem because I don't have time to chant my rounds. I'm working 20 hours a day. So what should I do? So what did Prabhupada say to him? Can anybody guess? Don't sleep. Very good. Don't sleep. Take it up the next, but the next day is also about 20 hours. And the next day and the next day. So Prabhupada told him, don't sleep. And so he took that instruction to heart. And he was only sleeping, he was sleeping for four hours, so then he started sleeping 2 hours. And he couldn't stay awake, so he would go in the shower and turn on the cold water and chant in the shower. So he went and fell asleep for 2 hours. So one time Prabhupada visited his temple, and Srila Prabhupada was had an evening program, and so this devotee went with Srila Prabhupada to that evening program, and Srila Prabhupada was taking a nap after prasadam. He went into a room, he took a nap. But before that, he saw Bhaktadasa so sleepy, so tired, he said, you go have a nap. You go sleep now. You've been working hard. So Bhaktadasa went to take his nap, and then about a half hour later, Srila Prabhupada came into bed next to him, and Prabhupada was thinking, he jumped out of his bed and said, oh, Prabhupada, you have your nap. Prabhupada said, no, you stay there. You're tired. So just see, he gave up his sleep for Prabhupada, then he went to sleep in the next bed next to Prabhupada. So this was the mercy. He actually took the instructions to heart, and Prabhupada gave him his mercy, gave him his blessings. So we chant Hare Krishna, we chant according to the instructions of Krishna Master, we will get rewarded by that. Krishna will see. Srila Prabhupada has said that if we chant 16 rounds and follow the four Vedic principles, Prabhupada promises us he will take us back to the spiritual world. Arigol. Very simple, but very difficult at the same time. It sounds easy, but then you have to work the whole day or go to school. It's not so easy. It's not so easy to do. So therefore, this is the challenge of our life, to try to take up the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and chant. So Hare Krishna is also our purifier. It's our purifier. When we chant, we're cleaning out all the garbage from our mind. Our mind becomes especially active when we try to sit down and chant japa. And we see everything that's there in our mind. It's like going in a glass boat in your heart and you see what's at the bottom. So many things at the bottom of our heart from this life, the previous lives. These things come up when we're chanting. So what to do? One time when the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, it seems like before I started this Hare Krishna, I had more good qualities. Now I see I have more bad qualities after I chanted, after I started chanting. And so Srila Prabhupada answered, no, it's just like when you're cleaning a room. If you don't clean the room for a while, the dirt settles to the bottom. But when you start cleaning, the dirt starts flying. And then you see it. So when we chant the holy name, the dirt might be at the bottom. At the beginning, but if we start chanting, then it starts flying, and then we say, oh my God, I didn't know I had all these desires and all these things. But then you let it go. You just let it go, and gradually, day by day, then it's finished. And before you know it, you're creating a spiritual body. Because by chanting the holy name, it changes your subtle body. Your subtle body changes. You can't see it happening, but it's happening. Your body is changing. So the protector, Krishna is the shelter, the protector, the holy name is also our protector. Many times in my life, I know one time I was in a car accident and all of us, the car was completely out of control, going one lane to the other lane. We were all chanting Hare Krishna and we were saved. We flew over a ditch, a river, which was concrete, two concrete sides. The car flew over it and we landed in a ditch and we were all We were chanting the holy name, and Krishna saved us. And so the holy name is our protector. He's our companion. Just now I was on the airplane for 2 hours, and before that I was sitting and waiting, so there were no devotees there. So I just start chanting, and Krishna's with me wherever I am. It's especially good on takeoff and landing to equalize the pressure when you take off. I've been on a lot of planes the last few months. And the chanting will save you from also distress when you fly, both physical and mental and spiritual. It will give you great consolation. The holy name is your companion. Sometimes you can't sleep at night, you get insomnia. What to do? Pick up your beads. I mean, just like when you're chanting in the morning, sometimes you fall asleep. So you try it in the middle of the night. And you may also fall asleep chanting, which is very nice. Very nice experience. But also, if you can't fall asleep, then you can chant so much before you wake up. And then you wake up late, you think, oh, well, yeah, I've done already. So the holy name is your companion, and your shelter, your most dear friend. And of course, there are different levels of chanting. There's offensive chanting. Right in the beginning, we don't know, we're committing some offenses. That's all right, we have to keep on chanting. And then you can come to the offenseless stage. And so this is described also as the medicine. We take our medicine. In the beginning, there is a verse that says, if you have jaundice, like I was in India, and you get jaundice there, you get liver problem all the time. So then, if you take something sweet, it tastes bitter. That's the medicine. The medicine is rock candy. If you take it, you'll cure your jaundice or your liver problem. So holy name is our cure for our heart disease, our Bhavaroga. So if you keep taking this medicine of holy name, then this will completely cure the disease, and one day it will become sweet. So we chant holy names. We also read the books. And here, Prabhupada says in the purport, everything is Krishna. But we should directly approach Krishna. That will save time. Just like if you want to go to the top of the building, are you going to climb to a 50-story building, step by step on the stairway, or are you going to take the elevator? Which one are you going to take? I think I would go for the elevator. So in this age of Kali, in this particular time, there are many spiritual processes, like Hatha Yoga and so many things. And this is like taking the staircase. And you may get stuck at a certain floor, like the second floor or the third floor, because generally these processes take many, many lifetimes to achieve the goal. But by chanting Hare Krishna, immediately you go to the top. So why waste time? Just chant the holy name, and this will make you very happy. As Srila Prabhupada says, chant and be happy. So here in the purport, it also says that Krishna is the ultimate goal of shelter. We should take shelter of Krishna either for protection or for annihilation of distress. Now that's a very interesting point. So for us, when we see Krishna as annihilation, his name is called Hari. Hari. Hari means one who takes away everything. A lot of people are afraid that Hari will take everything away from them materially. And that's why in some places in India, they don't worship Krishna. Because they say, if you worship Krishna, you're going to lose everything. And especially if he has a flute in his hands. If you hear the flute, you may forget everything and just run after him. That's true. So don't worry. He will not take everything away from you. He will take all of the bad things away from you, the distress. He will take away the anxiety. He will take away the distress. That is Hari for the devotees. For us, he'll take away the distress. Everyone else, he'll take away everything else. Everyone else, everybody else, time of death, they lose everything. So the devotee gains everything. The example is given just like a cat. If you see a cat carrying a rat in its mouth, what is the rat feeling? I'm finished. Very soon, I will be dead. I don't know where I'm going. Very great anxiety and fear. So this is how it is at the time of death for someone who does not chant Hare Krishna. He doesn't know where he's going. Great anxiety, great fear, change of body. completely different body, you don't know where you're going. But for a devotee, it's like a mother cat. The mother cat's carrying the kitten in her mouth. And what is the kitten feeling in the mouth of the mother? Very great shelter. Very affection. Shelter. And she knows the mother is taking her home. So sometimes, even in this life, we may feel the chief of the mother cat, or Krishna, but he's taking us home. So sometimes we may have distress in our life, but don't worry, we're going in the right direction. And at the time of death, he'll be there for us. Prabhupada will be there for us. Krishna will be there for us and take us to the spiritual world. So what we'd like to do is chant the holy name of Krishna. We're going to chant in a few minutes. While he's handing out the beads, if anyone would like, we're going to practice a little bit of the chanting together. Before that, if anyone has any questions, you may ask at this time. Yes?
You mentioned two questions, and I have one is that the Krishna on Granth Chaturdash, the Krishna in Bhagavad Gita mentioned that I'm the dead, I am the destroyer of everything.
Yes, so you say the glance is love, but how come he says I'm death? Yes, that's right. With you, Sarvaharas, Charaham. And I just explained, for the atheists, he is death. For the devotees, he is the mother. He says, I am death, and I am also immortality. So that is for two different people. For those who don't believe in God, God will come as death. For those who accept Krishna, he will come as immortality. So Hari takes away everything from those who don't accept him. If I don't believe in God, okay, don't believe. Time of death, you'll meet him. You'll meet him as because God is the supreme controller. And something we have no control over is death. Or even birth. Or disease, or old age. I never thought I would get old. Something for somebody else. Even death, we don't think we're going to die. You know, other people die. We don't die. Ahani, ahani, bhutani. Every day, people are dying, but we think, well, it's not going to happen to me. Or some dreaded disease will come, cancer. And then it happens, well, of course, it's for somebody else. Not going to happen to me. And we're so surprised and shocked if it happens to us. But actually, the death rate is 100%. As of now, nobody has changed the death rate. Although we have some promises from the world, but so far nothing has happened in that direction. Death rate is still fixed at 100%. Nobody escapes. Yes. And so for the devotees, yes, he is death. For the devotees, he is immortality. We will get eternal life. We will not die. The soul does not know when he dies, actually. This body will finish. So for the atheist, for the non-believer, this body is everything. Because they say, after death, there is nothing. They hope. They hope so. But actually, there's a lot after death. And they'll find out what is there after death, as soon as they die. But we know from scriptures what is there. What is there? It's a very bright future for someone who uses this human form of life properly in a spiritual way. It's a very bright future. And for those who neglect this gift of the human form of life, then they will suffer. They are suffering now and they will suffer after this life. So what was your second question?
My second question is that in the Bhagavad Gita verse, what chitta sarvagurgani mat prasada tarishyasi adhav chitta mahankar nasushyasi nirshi. Is it only for the spiritual impediment or the material impediment also?
Yes. Okay, so the question is, does Krishna remove only spiritual? There's no spiritual impediments. I see, okay. So does Krishna remove impediments only for our spiritual life but also for our material life? That is the question. So that's a very good question. Because we do have to balance sometimes material life and spiritual life. So will he remove the impediments of our material life? Yes, it will help you advance in spiritual life. He will remove the impediments in your material life. If you're meant to give all the money to Krishna, he'll make you a millionaire. and he'll take the money. Yes, one industrialist from Calcutta, I think it was, went to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, "Oh, Swamiji, I have a big problem. I cannot sleep at night. I have a factory here. I have a factory in Jaipur. I have a factory. It's in Delhi. In Delhi, I have been in this place, that place. It's so much stress. I cannot sleep at night." So Srila Prabhupada said, "Okay, we will solve your problem. We will cure your distress. You give us the factories." No. "No, it's okay, Swamiji. I won't get distress." Yes. This is what's going on. But if you will remove all obstacles in your path for your spiritual advancement, whatever is good for you, he will remove everything and he will make your path straight. But what we must do is accept everything that happens as his mercy. And then we'll see how it's all good. And if we say, "No, this is good, this is bad," if we make our own judgments, then we will suffer. Because sometimes we lose things that are very dear, but ultimately we're going to have to lose them at the time of death. So if it happens before, then we have a chance to make more progress. At the time of death, I've seen in Vrindavan, people come to die, and some of them are not ready, and they're still very, very attached, and they cannot give up their attachments. And some are ready. I saw one 19 or 18-year-old girl, she was leaving her body. He asked her, do you have any desires? She said, "I want a strawberry." Not too bad. But anyway, yes, we have to. So the best thing to do is voluntarily, I give it to Krishna. If you voluntarily do austerity, then you won't be forced. And if you don't do it voluntarily, you may be forced to give up things. That's life in Vrindavan, where I stay. It's better to voluntarily do austerity in Vrindavan, because otherwise you will be forced. So voluntarily don't eat too much, otherwise you'll get sick and be forced to fast. That's an example. You can't eat too much in India, it's very hot. And if you try, you'll suffer. This is the law of nature. Okay, any other questions? One last question and then we will chant together for a few minutes. Yes? Okay, so we have a Harinam party here. 2 hours a week, is it?
It's not as steady as we'd like it to be, but we try for that. Other question I had, you mentioned that chanting Hare Krishna or devotional service is by taking the elevator. But there are many people that we meet that want to take this care, so they want to find out,
right,
you know, their own spiritual path, and, or you're one of those organized religions, and you're telling me what the goal is, and I'm going to find out for myself. So.
Right. Okay, so some people want to take the stairway, so good luck to them. But we'd say, okay, you take the stairway, but at the same time you chant. What's the harm? It might help you speed up your climb on the stairs if you also add chanting to your stairway. At least you'll be happy climbing your stairs. You chant the holy name. So okay, we don't say don't take the stairway. There's just two different results, that's all. And the chanting will be very fast and easy, and you can, it's all right, you can follow your stairway path as you like, but do try chanting and eating prasadam, and that will help you speed up the progress. And the day may come where you will want to chant more. Okay, so now we're going to chant together. Everybody has beads? Anybody doesn't have beads? Okay, everybody has beads. So we're going to chant together. Now, your mind is going to say, "This is too much trouble." But don't listen to your mind now. We're just going to concentrate for a few minutes here on the sound of Krishna. This is a meditation. You can take this home. But I think if you want the beach, you have to pay something for them. You don't get them free. And this person in the back is saying, yes, yes. You have to pay. So, yes, you can take them home for a very simple fee for the beach. And the practice is what I want you to take home. And so we will start chanting. We will chant together in unison for about 7-8 minutes. And then we will have some announcements. Okay? So let's start. Well, first we'll chant to Lord Chaitanya. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Jityananda, Shri Advaita, Sadaha, Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktarinda. Then we will chant Hare Krishna Mantra. It's up there on the wall, you can see it. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama.